Okay? So, if you were to get suddenly the title, it's the one you see before you. Ready to receive.
The Sacrament of Reconciliation.
Which will prepare those of us who are baptized to receive the Easter sacraments we're going to receive at the vigil. And in a way, by being one family, preparing those who are going to receive all three sacraments at the Easter vigil,
our catechumens.
All right, so we got to go back to basics here. Hopefully this part is just a reset, right? Even for those who joined us at January, the Confirmation Club that met earlier today. Right, what are sacraments? What are sacraments? Grace from God. Thank you, Joe.
They're gifts.
Yeah, they're gifts. So, it's as simple as this. Okay? And gifts oftentimes come to us wrapped in beautiful wrapping paper and bows so that we don't mistake the fact it's a gift. And oftentimes with the tag, so we don't mistake who it's from. Sacraments come wrapped in signs and symbols that are attractive to us. So we don't mistake that they're gifts. And we can't help but know where that they come from. They're gifts from God, specifically through Jesus. God who came as a human being and God still and gave his whole life holding nothing back. That love is the power behind the sacraments. Sacraments are experiencing in a real way and in an intimate way that kind of total, unconditional, sacrificial love. And it's connecting our lives to that so that our lives can be transformed more and more to be that kind of love. Simple as that. So what's wrong with this picture?
It's not open.
Right. Gifts look beautiful, but they're rather useless unless you open them up. And when we open them up, this is what we find. That at the heart of these sacramental gifts is something as simple as an innocent child. That God would come to us in the total vulnerability of humanity. What's more vulnerable than a baby? And God, who is everything, would take this form to share in our most vulnerable nature and still be God. Jesus experienced everything we ever experienced, except sin. We all, throughout our lives, have a choice, day by day, moment by moment, to choose good or something other than good, which is evil, whatever shape or form or intensity it takes. To choose to love and be unselfish, other-centered, or self-centered and selfish, every moment of every day. Okay? Jesus, because he was God, could never deny his nature, could never be anything but love. But he came as one of us to show that it's possible as a human being to love this way. Now, on our own, can we do that? No. Can we get better at it if we try harder? Yes. Can we actually achieve that on our own? No. That's why we have sacraments. In Christ, all things are possible. So connected to Christ in these intimate ways, and that sacrificial love being received in all the ways we receive it sacramentally transform us from the inside out. But God's grace is too much for any one individual. It's never meant for that. That's why every time anyone receives a sacrament, the whole church receives a sacrament. So you wonder why people other than your family and friends are going to come to the Easter vigil? Because they understand that. They want to be right there at the epicenter. When all 25 of you, plus 6 or 7 Spanish, again, I never remember, plus, the next day we're going to have 4 kids and 22 youth. So in 24 hours, this parish is going to experience over 60 individuals receiving this grace. But it's going to transform them not just into a more visible image of Christ. It's going to transform them into a better delivery system or conduit of God's grace. And it's going to flow through them to the whole church. Okay? All right. So we talked about some things about reconciliation. Let's make sure that we are consciously aware of them again before we go a little bit deeper and then practice the how-to. Because the how-to is important. But if all you concentrate is on the how-to and not what is really happening here, you're going to miss the whole point of it. Okay? You can literally
go to the sacrament of reconciliation and have amnesia and go, I don't know what to do to the priest. And they'll go, no problem, I'll lead you through it. Literally. They're not going to yell at you. Okay, great. Let me bless you. Okay? Now, have you sinned?
Be honest.
Tell me your sin. Okay?
When you're done with that?
All right, make a good act of contrition.
Pray a prayer that says you're sorry and you're going to do your best to avoid sin.
And then I'm going to give you a blessing, and at the end of that blessing is going to be absolution.
That's it.
It's not rocket science.
But yeah, you can get nervous and blank out,
and the priest will go, no problem,
don't worry,
I'll lead you through it. As long as you consciously do this, I'll tell you the steps.
Okay?
All right, sin doesn't change God. That was one of the truths that we talked about. And the image there is a rock. Jesus' name is painted on it. What does that mean? When we understand our sin and the power of Jesus to forgive and reconciliation, what are we talking about? Sin doesn't change God.
Well, when you sin, it doesn't change your relationship with God, as far as like God doesn't judge you or not judge you per se, and it separates you from Him.
Yeah, let's work on that language just a little bit. I know you got the right idea, Fred. Sin does damage our relationship with God and others. What it doesn't do is it doesn't change God in the relationship. Sin changes us, right?
Does God judge us?
Well, you know, there's language about that in the Bible, but theologically more, it's our choice to sin and separate ourselves from God that we judge, our choice to judge ourselves. God's one desire is that we're going to be united with Him forever. It's the reason He created us, to love us and be one with us. But He made us free, and He won't force Himself on us. That's not wrong. Okay? All right. Do you remember the example that I gave up here? I called somebody forward. Who was it in this group that came forward and played God in this role?
I think it was Danielle.
Oh, Danielle's not here today? Okay. Should we do this for the people that missed it? For the people that joined in January?
Who wants to be God?
Okay, Ian raised his hand first. Come on up, Ian.
She's more of a godly figure.
Come on, Ian. This is going to be difficult. It's going to be hard to see God eye to eye here. I'll tell you again, 6'5", 6'4"?
6'3".
6'3", okay.
All right.
Can I hit you over the head with that? Okay. In all seriousness, this is an example, a visual example, of what God desires in a relationship. Okay, you remember God's part, right? God always looks at His son and daughter lovingly, never taking His gaze off of Him. That's how God is with us. He's always looking at us lovingly, never takes His eyes off us. You got it, God? Okay, all right. God's hoping we're going to respond, right? That our main focus in our life always is going to be God. God's going to be the number one thing at the center of our life, so we're always going to be focused on God. Okay? This is what happens with sin. When we sin, we choose our own selfishness to be the focus. So a small sin is like this. Okay? Has God changed His perspective in the relationship here? Is He still looking lovingly on me? Looking down lovingly on me? Okay. Am I focused on God?
No.
My focus is on Ken right now. Okay? Can I see God still?
Yeah.
I'm not blind. Yeah. Right there. Okay? Not even my peripheral vision. Still kind of in my vision, but on the outer part. The more we sin, little sins, the more it's easier to turn our gaze more and more from God. And we're in this position. Has God changed?
Mm-hmm.
Have I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now I'm looking at Fred.
Can I still see God? Yeah, even with my less than 20/20 vision, I can see Him in my periphery. Now, when I'm looking right at Fred, I can barely see God. If I kind of turn, like, I can see a little bit more God. I can't see God's face, but He's so freaking tall, I can see Him. It's almost like a shadow, too. Okay? Now, if I continue in this, the more I sin little, it's easier to sin in big ways. Mortal sin is when we separate ourselves from God. When God is no longer, not even in our periphery, isn't even in our gaze at all. Now, has God changed?
No.
Does God love me any less?
No.
Is He looking any less lovingly?
No.
Has He ever taken His eyes off me? In my perspective, is He making a face at me? In my perspective, God, I don't experience God at all. And at this state, if you've ever been in this state where you've done something seriously to separate your life from God, you can be deluded into thinking, like, God, where are you? You said you're always going to be there.
And here now, my life's a mess
because of my choice.
But who am I blaming?
God. Where are you, God?
He's right here. Why can't I feel his presence?
Because I turned my back. Reconciliation is this simple.
It's just choosing to turn back and want to be face to face with God. That's what God wants. God's not going to take me by the shoulders and spin me around.
He's not going to force himself on me.
He's going to continue in all these different ways to try to get his love to break through my stubbornness. And he'll do all kinds of powerful things. But at some point in time, we have to realize it's not God the problem here in my life. It's me. And so this is called repentance. It's turning back to God. That's all God wants. It's the story of the prodigal son. I like to call him merciful father. God, the son goes and wastes everything, the family fortune. God, every day, is looking on the horizon. When's my son coming back?
I can't wait.
And as soon as the son finally, in humility, walks back at a distance, the father doesn't wait for him to come and be humble and ask for forgiveness. The father, in an undignified way, runs to the son. And the son starts to say, I'm sorry, and he goes, never mind, son. You're my son. You're back. Here, you're fully in the family. Here's the family ring. Let's give him the fine cloak. Put sandals back on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. Have a party. He's back. It's what I've always wanted. Reconciliation. The main base word there comes from a Latin word, cilia. It literally means
eyelash.
Because in reconciliation, what we do is we come not only face to face with God, but it's so close, our eyelashes touch. It's like that old butterfly kisses song, right? Yeah, the daddy and his daughters. And so close, they touch eyelashes, that's how they kiss. That's what God wants. Way to go, God. That's right. Okay. That's a powerful image. When you go on retreat Saturday, you will have one even more powerful, I guarantee it. Okay? But try to always remember this image that you saw, especially when you hesitate to go to reconciliation. And then the image that you'll have on retreat as well. What do Catholics believe about the sacrament of reconciliation? What happens? God's grace transforms. So what happens? We're forgiven. Is that it?
Please tell me that's not all.
Yeah. Please tell me that's not all. Because other Christians will come to you and say, the Bible says that if you just ask God for forgiveness and sincerity of heart, God will forgive you. Is that right or is that wrong? Well, you ask with sincerity for forgiveness. You're sorry for your sins, which means you're going to want to do better. So it's a package deal, yeah. But why would you have to go to confession with the priest? If God's word, which is always true, says that, it's true. So is it really just about forgiveness? I'm not saying it's not about forgiveness. It's the full experience of God's forgiveness. But please, I hope, every night before you go to bed, you replay your day in your mind, and you offer to God the good things you did as thanks for the gift of the day, and you're honest for the things where you failed to live lovingly or outright sin, and you ask for forgiveness before your head hits the pillow. Because that's what God wants, is to give you forgiveness. But we have to be sorry, ask, and be willing to do better. Okay? So if you can do that without going to confession, then why on earth would you go? It ain't easy to sit there with another person representing God's grace and speak your sins to them. It's not easy. Why would you go through that? Why would God want you to? What else is going on here?
Well, a lot of times when we sin, we're like trying to keep it quiet as if it didn't happen.
So it helps keep us honest and bring it to light? Yeah, but you could do that with a psychologist or a spiritual director or your best friend. Do we not recall what else is happening in the second? Well, I have Eucharist all the time before going to reconciliation. The only reason I would not have Eucharist before reconciliation is that if I commit a mortal sin. And I'm pretty sure all, if not most of us in this room, aren't committing mortal sins regularly. But we still need to go to reconciliation with some regularity. Because it's more than forgiveness. It's more than, I don't want to be away from the Eucharist. There's much more. There's two more important things here that we need to understand. And it'll make it easier for you to go. What else is happening?
You're confessing to God?
You are, but you're doing that at night when you're asking for forgiveness. What's more?
See why it was important to reset here?
You're sharing.
Yes, you can do that without putting reconciliation, but it's more...
Say it again, Ken.
You're healing.
Okay. When we talked about sacraments, there were two. There were principally sacraments of healing, and they are reconciliation and the sacrament for the sick.
Healing.
Okay, you see, you can't heal yourself from your sins, and you can't completely heal someone else affected by your sins. And you know what? We don't often understand or know how many people are affected by our sins.
Sometimes we sin and people are affected, and we literally would never have a clue unless they told us. And sometimes our sin affects somebody else, and then they go and affect somebody else, and it's a ripple effect. So how would you know? The sacrament of reconciliation is more than forgiveness. God's forgiveness wants to heal us of our sin, selfishness and sin, and others affected by it. That's the only way that we're going to come back eyelash to eyelash. It has to be more than forgiveness. We can't do it on our own. Only God can do that. And God wants to do that sacramentally. So that's why it's more than just asking for forgiveness on our own. But wait, that's not all. God wants to throw an ascetic into us. It's not just forgiveness and healing. It's absolution. The last words you hear from the priest, when you're blessed at the end, that beautiful blessing is, and I absolve you of all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, to be absolved of your sins?
You're
wiped clean. They're destroyed. Wiped clean, yes. You're restored to the very moment of your baptism. There is no sin. Now be careful, because the first person you cut off going out, there you're right. So it's very easy to fall back into selfishness, but at that very moment, it's like the day of your baptism. We either take Jesus at his word or we don't. We either believe that sacrificial death destroyed sin and death or not. So when you come to the sacrament of reconciliation, forgiven, healed, and you're literally nailing your sins to the cross, knowing that Jesus on that cross is going to destroy them. They're not even going to exist anymore. In your memory only. Not in God's. They are obliterated. So, who would want to just settle for asking for forgiveness? Wouldn't you want to be healed? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you want your sins destroyed, obliterated, and hit that reset button right back to the day of your baptism? Mm-hmm. That's what this sacrament is about. Now, does it make the anxiety or the nervousness go away? No. That's human. But as you feel that hesitancy to want to go, because I don't want to tell my sins to the priest, remind yourself, okay? God wants to heal you and everyone affected by your sins, and God wants to absolve you of your sins. Okay? All right. How are we doing on time today? Okay, we just did all that. All right. I want to give you two quick experiences here. A few of you went to my university presentation, the second part, and what we did was we connected to the sacraments of baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation using clips from movies. Okay. Now, art is a very powerful medium for understanding mystery. Things that cannot be understood or explained only in words, where we have to enter into symbolism and experience. Okay? So I'm going to play two clips for you, and both of them are going to touch on elements and hopefully stir in your heart some of what we're talking about here. They're very short clips. How many of you have ever seen the movie The War Room? Oh, you might want to consider Netflix or whatever else. See that one as soon as you can. This is a small clip, but powerful. All right, so let me set this just real quickly for you. I believe her name is Claire. In her conversation, she's talking about her marriage, which is on the rocks. Okay. And in this conversation, the person who is going to give her good counsel is going to touch on the very things that we're talking about in the sacrament of reconciliation, which comes from the power of God's grace, but our openness to it. Thank you.
Oh, that's almost 3 pages.
And I can write more, but you'll get the gist of it when you read it.
Actually, I'm not going to read it. My question to you is this. In light of all these wrongs, does God still love Tony?
We both know he does.
Do you?
Now, Miss Clara, you're meddling. There's love in my heart for Tony. But it's just buried under a lot of frustration.
So he needs grace.
Grace? I don't know that he deserves grace.
Do you deserve grace?
Miss Clara, you have a habit of backing me up in a corner and making me squirm.
I feel the same way. But the question still remains, do you deserve grace? The Bible says that no one is righteous, not even one. For we have all sinned. So really none of us deserves grace. But we all still want God's forgiveness. Elizabeth, it comes down to this. Jesus shed his blood on the cross. He died for you, even when you did not deserve it. And he rose from the grave and offers forgiveness and salvation for anyone who turns to him. But the Bible also says that we can't ask him to forgive us while refusing to forgive us.
I know, Miss Clara, but that seems hard to do.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But that's where grace comes in. He gives us grace, and he helps us to give it to others, even when they don't deserve it. We all deserve judgment, and that is what God gives us when we don't repent and believe in his Son. I had to forgive Leo for something. And it wasn't easy, but it freed me. Elizabeth, there's no room for you and God on the throne of your heart. It's either him or it's you. You need to step down. Now, if you want victory, you're going to have to first surrender.
Oh, Miss Clara, do I just back off and choose to forgive and then just let him walk all over me?
God is a good defense attorney. Trust in him. And then you can turn your focus to the real enemy.
The real enemy?
The one that wants to remain hidden. The one that wants to distract you and deceive you and divide you from the Lord and your husband. You see, that's how it works. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is stealing your joy. He is killing your faith. And he's trying to destroy your family. If I were you, I would get my heart right with God. And you need to do your part in prayer. And you need to kick the real enemy out of your home with the word of God. It's time for you to fight a little bit. It's time for you to fight for your family. It's time for you to fight the real enemy. It's time for you to take off the gloves and do it.
A lot in that. What did you recognize? What did you connect with? Does anybody in this room feel worthy? No. On our own merits? Okay. But I guarantee you that if you're not careful, that fact alone is going to be whispered to you over and over, and you'll avoid going to the sacrament. Because it is difficult to be honest and humble in that sacrament that way, before another human being representing God. Okay. But that's only half the truth. No, we're not worthy. But Christ makes us worthy. And this is what Christ wants. So the enemy, and yes, we as Catholics do believe in Satan and demons. And they do influence. And the great lie in our society now is that they don't exist. Well, if an enemy exists, and you're convinced they don't, watch out. Okay? So that's what the enemy wants us to believe. To just stop it, we're not worthy, and give up. No, we're not worthy. That's why we need the grace. Now, this woman is powerful. And it's all centered on the Word. Did you notice that? This is an evangelical perspective. Now, the Word of God is powerful, but it's lived through the Word in the sacraments. Can you imagine just using the Word and fighting sin and evil in your own life?
we get to go and experience God speaking to us through the voice of a priest, touching us with a blessing, and hearing those words, I don't just forgive you, I heal you, and I take your sin away. That's the beauty of our Catholic faith. Questions or comments?
One more video, and then we'll take a break.
All right, this is from The Shack.
How many of you watched that movie?
Four of you.
Quick background here. So you're going to see three figures that represent the three persons of the Trinity. Father.
So is a woman in this case.
The older woman. Son. Looks like Jesus.
And Spirit.
Looks like a Middle Eastern woman. Okay.
And they are walking with Mac.
Mac was invited to the shack
by God, by a written invitation, because he was stuck in his life.
He was stuck, you think, by watching the movie, because of a tragedy that happened in his life, where his daughter was kidnapped, violated, and killed. His young daughter.
But at the movie, if you really pay attention at the beginning, he was stuck as a child.
And it was his father's relationship, abusive to him and his mother, and how he dealt with that.
So the whole movie, you think, is about, because the shack, he's invited by God to the shack, this is where his daughter was abused and killed. And so you get the impression it's about God wanting to heal him from being able to forgive and let go of all of that. Well, you're going to see here that that's not possible until he forgives himself. And so this is where we're going to pick up this experience. And this is going to enable him to forgive as best he could the person that violated his daughter and killed his daughter, but that's going to free him to live in God's grace.
Go right on, Mackenzie. Forget to enjoy the church.
Here we are.
This is it.
Feel right. Just for tonight. We'd love for you to get a glimpse of what we see.
Anybody hear that? We want you to have a glimpse of what we see, the Trinity.
Okay.
But with your permission. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to him. in the first clip, we can't fully experience God's mercy
and forgiveness if we're not willing to forgive.
And that's forgiving the people that
are most difficult to forgive.
And sometimes that's ourself.
See, in Max's story,
he couldn't stand seeing
his father abused his mother anymore.
His father, who was an alcoholic.
So he went out
to the barn where his father hid all his bottles, and he poured rat poison in every bottle. He killed his father. So he received,
and this seemed his father's forgiveness.
And his father gave his forgiveness.
All through the power of the Trinity.
But we have to be willing to choose to forgive. Even when we think we can't, through God's grace we can.
That's the power of sentence.
Okay. With that,
let's take a break.
Oh, any questions?
With that?
Father's word as supposed to be mortal sin.
Yeah.
What's the way that somebody can
be forgiven?
What's the difference?
Just as quick as possible, answer that question. Murder is a serious breach of the commandments, right? Now, remember, sin is we know it's wrong, and we freely choose to do it anyway. Out of wrong self-centeredness. So the question there is, was Mac free to do that? When you see your mother abused over and over and you're abused, and all you want to do is stop your mom being hurt, was he in a state of mind where he could freely choose, this is wrong, and I should find another way? And as a child, did he have the capacity to do that? Okay, so this is why, again, God tells us, judgment is mine, not yours. We don't know the hearts of our people.
We know our own.
So we know if we were back, if we committed a moral sin. Now, he probably felt like he was unforgivable in the way things had happened.
Although, he was a great father
until his daughter was killed. And then everything unraveled in his life. His relationship with his wife and his kids. Why? Because at his heart, he doubted whether or not he could be forgiven. Okay?
That wound had to be healed
and absolved for him to be able to move forward. That's what this is all about.
And he had to do it first with his father, and then by this person.
And later in the movie, you'll see that person, who was a monster, we would say, was crafted by his father the way he was abused. So again, you never know the heart of an individual.
How could Max's father be a husband if he
abused his wife and children?
God's mercy? Was he free?
As an alcoholic, an addict?
And he himself is abused
as a child? Abuse perpetuates. Matt broke the cycle. He was a good father. But his life fell apart because he was never healed.
Okay?
Alright, sick. Diana has something to
say. Okay. Today is Linda's birthday. Okay, before I have a few announcements to have, but before we get started, I know we celebrated Linda's birthday before break. Got the break, we're going to celebrate and miss. Fred is moving. He will be back for the vigil, so we don't have him at the vigil. We love having you, and it's so great having you here. Anytime you guys are back. Okay. Does anybody have a Patricia Janine Lazo as a sponsor? Yours?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was awesome.
Somehow that got to Dana's desk without who that sponsor was attached to.
Sorry,
that's
fine.
No.
I don't remember putting it on there, but it had to be me.
And does anybody else have any more money or anything for me for retreat?
Bill Clinton.
I have a bill.
Wow, that came out strong.
That escalated real fast.
Give me the sponsor and give me your money.
So, talking about the retreat. We're going to meet on Saturday morning. We're going to be here for 8 o'clock Mass. So please come about 5 minutes before 8. We're going to go to Mass. We're going to sit together in front of the amber like we've been sitting together for the scrutiny and all that. Mass on a Saturday morning is usually about 30, 35 minutes long. It's not a very long Sunday Mass. And then after Mass, we'll get a chance to run to the restroom. And then we're going to meet the bus out in the front. The bus is going to be right in front of the church. You will be given a bag that you will hold on to that will have water and snacks and things like that for you to use during the retreat. And then we will head down to the cathedral in L.A., where we will begin the retreat. Then we will take a tour of the cathedral, we'll have lunch, and then we will get back on the bus and head over about a mile to another parish, St. Francis Xavier, that's about a mile away from the cathedral, and we'll finish up the retreat there. Get back on the bus about 4:30, head over here, where we will gather again and have a taco dinner, and just enjoy each other's company after a whole long day of retreat. I know it sounds kind of like, oh my gosh, all day long, but I tell you, this day can go fast. And it's gonna, you guys are just going to be flying higher than a kite. And we'll be sailing right into the vigil after that. So it's going to be a wonderful experience. You guys will be taken care of. You know, we have lunch provided, but we will have snacks and drinks and all of that. You cannot have coffee or tea on the bus, but you can bring water.
Yeah, nothing but water.
There will be water in your bags, so you will have water. But yeah, the bus driver does not allow any of that. So don't run over to Danny's and get a cup of coffee before we get on the bus. A lot of people have done that in the past.
Unless you want to hand it off to somebody coming out of mass.
Yeah. wear comfortable shoes, because we are going to take a walk around the cathedral and everything. Comfortable clothing. I think it's supposed to be a pretty decent day. Any questions about the retreat? Yeah.
So we can bring like a backpack for like people who might be pregnant or something who might need extra clothes.
Hypothetically, you know.
We've got a lot of storage on the bus.
Yeah.
Even with all the materials for retreat, yeah, if you don't have room in your seat, you can put it in the storage under the bus.
Yeah.
The retreat is sounding more and more interesting. If there's a way I could get off work Saturday,
Okay.
Hey, if we don't know you're coming until you show up at 8 o'clock, we'll still let you on the bus.
Okay. Now, is anybody taking their personal car? Anybody going to just drive themselves?
You'd have a good reason if you want to.
Yeah. Because we'll give you the directions. It's easy to Google the electrician.
Okay, so let me have a little addendum to that first as you're all filtering that. If you have a good reason, then yeah, and I'm looking at a good reason over here, but part of what we're doing is, this is a pilgrimage also. So we'll talk about what a pilgrimage is, but a pilgrimage, it's not just the destination, it's the journey as well. So it's the ability to sit with your sponsor and have a conversation going down, which will be directed, we're going to give you some things to talk about. Coming back, conversation filtering on your own, your exchange of your experience on the retreat. So if you decide to drive down, we'd want your sponsors to drive with you.
Oh, we'll take the bus.
And so, okay.
So I can talk to other
okay. people. But, I mean, if Diana will never take the bus because it makes her sick. So if you have bus sickness, car sickness, that might be a reason to take your own vehicle, okay?
Not a problem if that happens. Or somebody can ride with me. Because this year it's just going to be me.
You're
and Stella are going to take their own car and meet us there. She's going to do the tour for you guys. And you will love her because she was a tour guide for UC Irvine, and she is a Disney nerd, and so she kind of uses the little jokes from the Jungle Cruise.
Cool.
But don't spoil it.
It's fine.
Was that like pre-written jokes for the Jungle Cruise?
Okay. Back to the topic at hand here. And we have 35 minutes, and I want you to go on time for sure because
we're back here tomorrow at 6:30, right?
So I don't want to wear you out.
6:30 in the church.
6:30 in the church. Okay. Let this portion of the evening hopefully help you feel more comfortable with the mechanics of making a good confession, how to, and hopefully quell a lot of anxiety. I hope what we talked about today helps for that too, because when you are really feeling anxious, think about the deep truths. Forgiveness, healing, absolution, and maybe even if either or both of these clips were powerful for you, you're going to have time to reflect yourself and prepare yourself with some quiet, and we're going to do some direction to help you as well. But if you don't know what to do with that quiet time, maybe ponder some more of these clips and the truths that they represent about what we believe about the sacrament and what happens. That can be very freeing too. All right? So what you're going to hear now is a clip from his YouTube, I don't know what you call it, page or whatever. This is Father Mike Schmidt.
Anybody ever heard of him?
He's a pretty famous Catholic priest out there on the internet.
I wouldn't say as famous as Bishop Barron, but he has a pretty big following himself, too. He has a great story, and he has a lot of clips out there, including his own vocation story to being a priest. Very powerful. So if you like his style or you want to hear some more, just follow Michael Schmidt. I'm going to warn you, though. When you hear him speak, you're going to be out of breath. It's almost like he's had six cups of coffee before he talks. But he'll gauge you. He'll draw you in, okay? So this is Father Mike on making a good confession.
And yeah, six cups with a shot of espresso.
Talk about confession. Why do you need it? Jack! Here's why you need confession, Jack! Jill and Jane and Jimmy. Hi, my name is Father Mike Schmidt, and this is Ascension Presents. So one of the things I love to do as a Catholic priest, and I love hearing confessions, not because I like the dirt on people, you know, I don't hardly remember anything I hear in confession, this thing I call divine amnesia. The thing I love about confession is it's always a place of victory. It's always a place where people are returning to Jesus. It's really remarkable. One of the things I've noticed sometimes is that when someone comes back to confession, if they've been gone for a long time, say, you know, Father, it's been 30 years since my last confession, 50 years since my last confession, okay? And what do you need to confess? Well, you know, I was a little bit short with my wife, or I kind of, you know, I was a little bit hard on my kids, or something like this. All right? That's it. Okay. After 30 years, that just, all right, okay. let's go back. And ask the question, almost always ask the question in everyone's confession, has God been number one in your life? Have you put other things ahead of God? And oftentimes the response is, I don't know, I try to be a good person. That's great, that's wonderful. But that wasn't the question. The question wasn't, are you trying to be a good person? Because when we compare ourselves to that, I mean, the reality is this, we always think like, well, I'm not as bad as I could be. But the truth is, you're also probably not as good as you should be. So like, there's not even a thing. You're comparing your goodness to like people you know. Our goodness is compared to God himself. So let's go back. I try to be a good person. Okay, that wasn't the question. The question was, is God the center of your life? Because if anything other than God is the center of your life, that's the first thing. That's the first thing that we need to confess every single time we go to confession. And the older we get, the more stuff there is that competes for the first place in our hearts. So when it comes to going to confession, not like a kid, because that's maybe the last time we went to confession, but going to confession like an adult, what we first have to do is we have to realize that one of the number one sins we probably have is that we don't put God in the center, we put him on the sidelines. Moving on. One of the other things we need to do if we want to go to confession like an adult is we need to understand what sin is. Someone says, you know, have you, what do you need to confess for your sins? Well, I don't know, I don't really hurt anybody. All right, that's great. But that's not what sin is. I like to define sin like this. I mean, the Bible has a lot of different ways to describe sin. It's very, very helpful, all of them. But here's how I like to describe sin. Sin is basically, it's not like I'm angrily defiant against God. It doesn't necessarily involve hurting someone else. It's never just a mistake or an accident. Sin is this. God, I know what you want me to do. I don't care. I want to do what I want to do. That's what sin is. God, I know what you want. I want what I want. God, I know what you want me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's knowing what God wants and freely choosing to do something else. And so in light of that, to be able to go back and say, okay, yeah, when I was in second grade, the thing I knew God wanted me to do was obey my parents, wanted me to be nice to my siblings, wanted me not to cheat at school, and those kind of things. But now here you are at 25, now you're at 55. Okay, what does God want for your life? Say, I have no idea where to start. Well, thankfully, the church gives us cheat sheets. So here's where you can start. There's four places that you can start to deal with make an examination of conscience like an adult. But here's my invitation for you. Your cheat sheets should be appropriate to your age and to your state in life. This will do a lot of good to have a cheat sheet like an examination of conscience that's made for second graders. Or a confession cheat sheet made for single people when you're a married person. Or for married people when you're a single person. Actually, there's a fantastic examination of conscience for priests that just blows me away. It goes so deep. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. That's helpful. So, first thing, find a good examination of conscience. Number two, there's this prayer called the Litany of Humility by Cardinal Mary de Pell. And it's this prayer that, you know, basically it says, Lord, from the desire of being loved, deliver me in Jesus. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me, Jesus. It goes all these things like, I desire being loved more than I desire to love. I desire to be extolled more than I desire to honor someone else. To go through this Litany of Humility and realize, there are some wounds in me. There are some areas in my life where I said, God, I know what you want. I want what I want. A third opportunity for a cheat sheet is go to Jesus' own words, the Beatitudes. In the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are the meek, They shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful. They'll be shown mercy. Do I live in a meek way? Do I show mercy? Do I work and strive after peace? These are areas where I can look at my life and say, am I doing it or am I not? And the fourth examination, the fourth cheat sheet, is actually called a consciousness examine. Now, St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, which is the order that the Pope Francis belongs to, is he came up with this thing called the consciousness examine. Here's what it is. It's not the same thing as an examination of conscience. Here's the steps. Go into prayer. You ask the Holy Spirit to help you, because sometimes we don't know what we need to confess. Number two, you go over your day, your actual day, that day. This is usually at the end of the day, right? Go over your day and walk through in your memory what happened. For all the areas in your life that day, where you said yes to God, where His grace was there, His invitation was there, and you said yes. Go through that day and say, thank you, God, for this. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. Get at the end of the day, thank you, Lord. And then start again. Go back to the beginning. What were those times of your day where God is offering His grace and you said no? What were those times of your day where God, we were very clear that God said, I want you to do this, but you said, I want to do what I want to do. Then go through those moments of your day, and at the end of that, say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And lay that at the feet of Jesus. Because realize, it's not just about sin. It's about living out of a relationship with God. That's why the first thing I need to ask myself is this. Is God at the center of my life, or is He in the sidelines of my life? The degree to which you are living from the relationship with God is the active part of your life. God, I noticed you were here. Thank you. God, I knew you were here and you're inviting me to do something. I didn't do it. I'm sorry. I promise you, if you take any one of these cheat sheets and begin living them, and begin walking through them, begin practicing them, knowing that God needs to be at the center and not in the sidelines, I promise you, if you do this, you'll begin learning how to make confession, to go to confession, like an adult. Actually, learning how to go to confession like a saint. And that's what God wants you to be. From all of us here at Ascension Presents, my name is Father Mike. God bless.
What was your takeaway? You packed a lot in 7 minutes. What was your takeaway?
Then I'm going to watch it again. No, but I wanted to say that I've been watching Ascension Presents on YouTube when I drive. For work, I drive a lot, so I've been watching it.
And you're watching it while you drive?
I'm sorry, not watching it. No. Listening to it.
Okay.
Yeah, listening to it. But a lot of times I will send... I'll send them to Kenny because they resonate, and I'll send them to my kids because they resonate, and I'll just want to watch them again. But I've been watching so many of them. You're not always driving.
That's a so good.
Takeaway. Keep going.
In reference to the cheat sheets he was talking about, I know that online or through various apps, there's some really good ways to examine your consciousness. You're waiting for the confession, so you can kind of sort of fill in the blanks and actually let you make lists. Although I always feel a little weird walking in the confession, laying down my iPhone and going, I did this, I did some notes. But it really helps you examine your consciousness and then sort of ask if you can walk in the right direction.
Okay, takeaways. What was the thing he was encouraging everyone to do? Who was he talking to? What audience?
Us.
And you are?
Adults.
Adults! Don't raise your hand, but how many of you, the last time you went to confession, you were
a child,
a teen, a really young adult? It's been a while. Okay. So the way you were taught to be prepared was probably age appropriate at the time. But now you need to go through an examination of your conscience and prepare yourself thoroughly for the stage of life that you're in. And it changes. Which also means whatever you're using now, 5 or 10 years from now, might not be the best way to prepare yourself to go to the sacrament of reconciliation. Here's the number one thing that everyone should start off with, no matter how old you are. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you prepare to give a good confession.
Because God knows what you need.
And remember, we're told in prayer, we don't even know how to pray the way we should. But if we make our best effort, the Holy Spirit takes over and takes it from there. Okay? So if you want to make sure that you're not even accidentally playing games with yourself or God, then ask God to help you make a good confession. Which starts with examining your conscience. Yes?
Why is it for those that are just getting baptized, our first
consolation is
June.
Well, the thinking there is two things. One, Our assumption is that you're not going on and committing mortal sins in 6 weeks. Or 7 weeks. What's that? Yeah. The other reason, and you'll understand this better as you go through it, is we don't finish our RCIA journey with the Easter Vigil. Now, if you're only in this to get the sacrament, you won't come back for the 5 weeks. We take a 1 week break.
You won't come back.
And it happens. You'll notice who comes and who doesn't come. But it's called mystagogia. So the last stage of RCIA lasts the rest of your life.
It's unwrapping the gift.
And we started off with the image of the package. What's wrong with this picture, right? You need to unwrap it. Well, guess what? The older you get, the more you can appreciate the gift. So in a sense, you continue to unwrap it perpetually. So mystagogia lasts the rest of your life. But we want to help you get a good start with that. So how do you do that? How do you begin to live that sacrament in your life, in your family, in your parish, in your community? That's what we're going to do when we meet for the next 5 weeks. So those three, two things together, really, will help you to begin to live your baptism and allow that to
work in you.
See, here's a third reason,
okay?
Give sacraments a chance to work in your life. I mean, if your heart's open and you're allowing God to work in you, okay, we're a work in process. So here's one thing some of my priest friends would say. You know, there's some people that come to confession 2 and 3 times a week in the parish. And at a certain point,
priests have told me, they don't tell me the confession is, but they said,
you know what I finally had to say today? Would you let God's grace have a chance to work in your life? I mean, it kind of makes sense, right? Is it all we just go and confess our sins so we can feel good? Or are we allowing that grace to really transform and change us? Because in the act of contrition, it's, I'm sorry, and I'm going to do my best to avoid the near occasions of sin. Are we doing that? Or are we just going back to the dispenser? Right? Okay, so kind of all three things together. It might make a little more sense as we walk through this notion. Okay? She had a calendar, but you didn't.
Cool. You're the one who called her out.
So, like, kind of, like, looking at the calendar from the first day. So, like...
Where are you moving to?
I'm moving to Phoenix.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard commute. Every Tuesday.
There are heathens down here.
Well, there's two things I could suggest.
Yeah.
One, go and be... Well, there's a suggestion, too. Skype in. But you could also listen to what we do. We post a recording every time. It's not the same as being here and being part of the conversations, but it's something. Go to the parish. Register right away. You can be going to Mass and living your sacraments. Ask if their RCIA mystagogia is ongoing. And tell them, hey, I just moved, and I want to continue with mystagogia. It's not the same because it's new people, but it's the same power of God's grace. So lean on that, not on your... feeling like you're new to the group. There's three suggestions, and there's probably more. Yes?
That's what I was kind of planning on doing. Is it common for most parishes that they do the RCIA program?
Yep.
And they have the adults?
Yes.
So, and then most of them do the mystagogia.
Mystagogia is supposed to last to Pentecost. Not every parish does that, and we didn't always do that until recently. But we are meeting through Pentecost. Okay. Other questions? All right, I'm going to call an audible here because of time. There is another video, but if I had to cut one out, that would be it. It just kind of the how-to. We did a how-to video before, too, remember? With you two? Okay. Whoop. Here we go. Let's walk through what happens. So we'll become 6:30 tomorrow night in the church, and we're going to start at 6:30. So if you come late, you're going to miss part of this. We're actually going to go through a really good examination of conscience. We're going to model for you. It's going to be bilingual. It's going to be Spanish script together with English script. Deacon Rodolfo and I will lead. Okay? At 7 o'clock, and before that, people will start filling in because at 7 o'clock begins the parish penance service. Rosario, Deacon Raul's wife, and I have talked with Father Joe. Father Joe's going to lead the whole parish in a very brief penance and a very brief examination of conscience, and it's not the same as what we're doing. So basically what you're going to do is get an intimate experience of examination of conscience, little break, and then something more general. So you're going to get two
kind of ideas of examination of conscience.
Believe me, it's not going to be redundant, and it'll help prepare you, and then you're personally. The priests will get introduced. You'll see them all going around. And the ones up at the front will be our two parish priests and a couple of others. So you can choose to go to our parish priests or not. Whatever makes it easier for you to go, or what is most meaningful for you. Okay? This is the rite of reconciliation. We examine our lives in the light of God's love and mercy. If you didn't take anything else from Father Mike, a real healthy way of going into examination of conscience is, what did he say? Is God first in my life? And we all have to admit there's times not. So that's how we start looking at, where's the real sense of sin in our life? Okay, where did we consciously choose that we just wanted to do it our own way? Regardless, we knew better. Okay, little to big to habitual, the things that we tend to do over and over. Okay, then the confession to a priest. Then you're given penance. Sometimes some people call it satisfaction. I don't really
do that anymore, but
penance. Okay, do you remember what penance is? From way back when we talked about this in October
or November.
What's that? It's your part, right, in the process of healing. Okay? You can look at it two ways. One, it's a show of how sorry you are to God for selfishly doing things your own way and causing harm in your relationships. And it's also participating in healing. Okay, so if people are harmed by our sins, not just ourselves in our relationship with God, but other people, who's responsible? Me. So, can I fix that on my own? Most likely, no. If you really know who you hurt, you go and you obviously ask for forgiveness and try to make reparations. But can you repair their heart? Or if that affects their ability to trust again, can you fix that? No. But this is something that we do to participate. We do something, God does the rest. So the priest will actually give you a penance. It can take a form of prayer or action or both. He may say, I want you to say this prayer wholeheartedly. I want you to say this string of prayers wholeheartedly. A priest might say, a decade of the rosary, this specific decade, connected to what you confessed. And pray for healing for those people affected. They may not even explain. They just may say, three Our Fathers and three Hail Marys. That's what it was when I was a kid. You went to this one priest, it was always three Our Fathers and three Hail Marys. And by the way, most people lined up there because the other priest would have you do something. A lot harder than saying three Our Fathers and three Hail Marys. The example I gave back in, remember when we talked about this, was my friend Father Rich, who passed away a few years ago. Knew me for almost 30 years before he died.
My best friend.
My confessor. Not easy, but good. Because whereas the priest says there's that confession amnesia, priests have so many sins, they can't keep them straight anyway. Nor do they want to. Could you imagine if you could remember everybody's sins and every time you saw them, it was like seeing the list of their sins on their forehead? It would drive you insane. Especially if you're a minister of grace. Priests must pray not to remember. You wouldn't want to. How would you want to carry that around, too? Thank God Jesus takes that and does away with it. If the priests took it on themselves,
psychologically, how could you do that?
Okay? So that's an advertisement for don't worry about it after you see the priest the next day, like he's looking at you
going, I know something about you.
But Father Rich, because he was my best friend, and because I went to him for confession for 20-some years, he knew my habits. I couldn't just go in and go, I confess this like it's the first time. Okay? But he had God's mercy and God's compassion and would help give me some guidance, too. It was like a second spiritual director for me. But these are the kinds of penances he would give me. All right, Rich, I lost it a couple of times in the last month, and I really took it out on Diana. We had an argument, and I pushed the buttons that I knew hurt her to the core in my anger. And I told her I'm sorry, but that's my most serious sin. That's my sacrament. And in my anger, I wounded her. And his penance for me would be something like this. Okay, this week, you cook dinner every night, and you do the dishes every night.
Okay. And so after that happened like the second time, Diana went,
like the second time I had a week for that, like Tuesday night, she went, oh, when you saw Father Rich, you had your confession hurt, didn't you? Because when I did it the first time, she's like, what's going on here? And I told her, it's my penance. Because I can't fix what I did to you, but I want to show you how sorry I am. Okay? That's the best I could do to heal her. Holy Spirit did the rest. So you could get one like that. So don't be like the little kids that ran to the three-hour party.
Go for the challenge. If you know the priest that will really give you something that will connect you
to being responsible and being part of that healing process.
Okay.
Then absolution, God's gift of forgiveness and healing and taking away all your sins. And then you say the act of contrition, which is your purpose of amendment and continual conversion. Meaning, I'm going to try to avoid the near occasions of sin. I'm going to try my best not to repeat these things. I'm going to allow your grace to work more in me and change me and make me better. Okay, I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to be more open to your grace. Okay, the act of contrition can take a lot of different forms. There's a long one and a short one. There's an old one that I learned and the ones we teach the kids. By our confessionals, there's a green piece of paper and a yellow piece of paper folded. The green's in English, the yellow is in Spanish. The first three pages of the fold are ways to do examination of conscience. So when you come on a regular scheduled times for confession, pull one of those green sheets. If you haven't already done examination of conscience, then pick one of those and work through that before you go into the confessional. Take it with you if you don't have an act of contrition memorized, because on the backside is a short form and a regular form. And the priest says, now say a good act of contrition. Doesn't mean just read it, mean it. But an act of contrition is simply this. Contrition means sorrow. God, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry how they've damaged or hurt people or my relationship with you. I'm going to try my best to avoid these things and to be better. Say it in your own words. It's fine. And if you can't remember anything, you do bring the green paper in, tell the priest, I'm sorry, this is my second time and I'm blanking. He'll walk you through it. He'll ask you questions. Are you sorry? Are you going to try to do better? Do you want God's grace to heal you and other people? Good go.
Okay.
This is what absolution looks like if you're face-to-face, which will all be tomorrow. I suppose if you want to go with the screen, you can, but it's going to be a longer line. So the priests that are going to be up front are going to be dispersed throughout the sanctuary far enough that you can't hear each other's confessions unless you talk really loud. Okay? And it'll be face-to-face, okay? If you're totally uncomfortable with that, I'll help you jump a line if I can. Well, the daggers of other people, but you're going to be introduced as being RCIA. And for some of you, it's your first confession. I've got to say, for some of you, it's been a long time. But RCIA is going to go first. Everybody knows. Okay. All right, here's the prayer of absolution, and we can make this our closing prayer. These are the words that are going to be prayed over you in the sacrament. And every other time you receive the sacrament, it's beautiful. And you're going to notice that it's pieced together from passages of Scripture. God, the Father of mercies, Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself. That same letter later on. And sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. John's Gospel. Through the ministry of the church, again, 2 Corinthians, may God give you pardon and peace, Luke's Gospel. And I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, those words in bold are necessary to be said. Like in an emergency, if someone's dying, the priest could just say that. Just like in an emergency, if someone's dying, just water, and I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the key. Because it's absolution, not just forgiveness and mercy, that completes the sacrament. The taking away of all sin. And only priests can hear confessions. Not deacons. Well, that's not true. Deacons can hear confessions, we just can't give absolution. You can tell me your sins.
Or anybody.
We do that with friends, right? And that feels good to get it off our chest. But for absolution, only priest. Ian, and then...
Is it, like, do you need to be absolved before your death? Is that even essential to afterlife or anything in that regard? Or is it just something that you prefer to be absolved?
Yeah, to be in the fullness of God's love, we can have nothing separating us between ourselves and God, even venial sins. So do you need to be absolved?
Yes.
So what happens if you die and you can't? The priest isn't there to hear your confession. What do you think happens?
Jesus hears your confession.
Jesus is hearing your confession with a priest. Jesus can hear your confession without a priest. If you've died, we all meet our maker face to face. And the final choice, do we want to live forever in God's love, or do we want to go on our own?
It's hard to imagine somebody wouldn't choose A, somebody would choose B. But if you live your whole life resisting God and wanting to do it your own way, when you see the power of God's love, that light may not seem like warmth. It might seem like blinding. And for somebody who's not used to that and wants to do their own thing, they'll be afraid of it, even though it's love. That question and answer was so good. You forgot yours.
Yeah.
Okay, well, raise your hand if it comes back to you. Okay. Gosh.
Wrong.
Okay, so the last one said, practice makes perfect. We're up against it here. Sometimes what we've done in the past, and I don't necessarily feel it's necessary with this group, but before we did these videos in particular,
you know, the apprehension was a lot more,
and we would actually have somebody model what a confession's like after you hear somebody making a confession and the priest having a little conversation and praying the words of absolution. We actually do a better job with it by what we've done the last couple of years, what you've experienced tonight.
I would almost kind of look
almost like not mocking, but really artificial and corny, yeah. You have a deeper understanding of what this is about. Now it's all up to you whether you want to enter into the depth of the mystery. That's the best thing I could say. Okay? Remember your question? On the tip of your tongue. Anyone else have questions tonight or comments?
No.
Could I at least hear a little feedback? Because you always want to make sure people are prepared. So think about your feedback. What would you say was good about tonight? But first, we have a question.
Yeah. You said when you were at our club earlier that...
Confirmation Club.
Confirmation Club, yeah. That if someone committed a moral sin, the first thing they should do is go to the church.
Yeah, should run to confession,
run
not
to
walk.
Confession, yeah. What if someone... right before they were going to pass, confess to you. Would they be relieved of...
Would they be absolved?
Absolved.
I can't pray I can pray the prayer of absolution, but it's not sacramental.
So what does that mean for the individual?
I always believe in the power of God's mercy. Mm-hmm. And the fact that sacraments... Jesus is the minister of every sacrament.
I can't explain it beyond that.
Okay. What's going to happen? I don't know.
It's just a movie, but there's this movie I watched with Jeff Bridges, and he pretends to be a priest, and he meets this boy, like a 20-year-old boy, and he says he's committed a bunch of sins in his life, and his life wants to be absolved of them, and he's about to die, and then Jeff Bridges pretends to... Mm-hmm. Be a priest so he can
die in peace.
Yeah, die in peace. But what would happen? That boy was really, you could tell he was.
Yeah.
He was he regretted everything.
Well, you know, I think the bigger question is what happens to the person who pretended to be a priest. But I would imagine that if someone was led to believe someone was a priest who wasn't, God's going to really work through that. Because what was the intention of the person who made the confession?
Yeah.
And who's the actual minister? Again, my greatest concern is someone who's impersonating a priest.
That's a really serious thing.
That's messed up. One final comment on that. Somebody who dies in a state of mortal sin, what's their chances? And I said, I like to bank on God's grace. But here's the issue. It's not just God's grace. God's constantly trying to flood us with grace. It's our openness is what we keep talking about. And if you die in a state of mortal sin, when you die, are you going to be any more open to God's grace than... I guess maybe it has to do with the pattern of that person's life before they died. Were they constantly in a state of mortal sin? Was it something that just happened? Were they open to God's grace a lot? I'm only trying to imagine, you know? But I leave that up to God. Again, I believe in the power of God's mercy. Okay? Fred?
I got one. It's not really for tonight, but... I think it was last Friday.
But since it's your last one?
Yeah. I went to the Stations of the Cross that was put on by the high school students here. And it wasn't my first time ever going to a Stations of the Cross.
Well, it was a live enactment of the Stations of the Cross by our youth group. Yep.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. And I think they're doing it again this Friday.
They are. Thanks for bringing that up. Because remember, because of the change of things in our parish mission, we actually didn't pray the Stations of the Cross together. We talked about it. So if you haven't done that yet during Lent, I highly suggest Friday, 7 o'clock, go to what Fred's talking about. They will, in the church, reenact the Stations of the Cross, and it is powerful.
Did you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Super big advertisement for that. Feedback real quick tonight, even if it's just a word or a phrase. What was this like for you? On the eve of your making a reconciliation.
I made a little bit nervous, but I'm very excited.
So you came in nervous, but now you're more excited than nervous.
Yeah.
You're still nervous.
No, I'm
but you're excited.
About it, yeah.
Good. What else?
It's a good nervous.
Good nervous.
Better things I didn't know when I wanted to.
Well, we are intellectual beings, so if we don't engage our intellect, that's a big part of who we are, and we're not giving God a lot to work with, right?
Comforting.
Was it only your mind, or? You know, those video clips really were designed to get to the heart more than the mind. Did that work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're reenacting a few of
Wow. Who saw that for the second time? It's still a good image, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it when you put the smack on.
Okay.
It's a good movie.
You know what? When you think of that image again, to help you get to confession, after confession, go through that image again, and you stand in the place of God. Because we're supposed to, we say to our Father all the time, forgive us our trespasses as we
forgive us our trespasses.
And in a sense, that's love us as we, which means we have to be like that. We have to love other people and look at them with their goodness despite whatever
else the baggage is they carry with them.
Because that's what we want God to do for us. Okay. Anything else?
Really, the tables and the tablecloths on the tables.
Because we're going to, by the way, come back here after everyone's had a chance for reconciliation, and we're going to have a little reception, a little celebration. You guys are, you think you're excited now, wait till you, after you have your confession, how you feel, and we'll come over here and share that joy, okay? All right, the Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless you and open your hearts to the sacraments you're going to receive. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. See you tomorrow night, 6:30 in the church.